All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Can you just rise to our feet quickly? Let's charge our spirit so that we can hear God's word today. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, not spiritual wisdom and understanding. I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It's giving me light and direction. It's healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. I said amen.
Amen.
That word will drive out every disease from your body today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You are well totally from the top of your head to the soles of your feet.
Amen.
No matter what cause, naturally speaking, the doctors give it, the word does not care. The word just heals it entirely.
Amen.
Whether it's genetic, it is gone.
Amen.
It's caused by an infection, it is gone.
Amen.
It's a degenerative disease, it is gone.
Amen.
Even when it says of old age, it is gone.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good.
Always.
I said the Lord is good.
Always.
So the true service of God, that's what we've been looking at. And I want us to just continue again from where we stopped. I just feel like reading this portion of the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let us start with that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. What we have been trying to do in all these teachings is just to emphasize to the people of God that the work of God is not just when you get up and go to church, but when you get up in the morning, just being your normal Christian, that's God's work, and you must put that diligence into it. The way you handle your home is the work of God. The way you do your business, that's God's work also. The integrity with which you preach messages, if you're a preacher, it's not the preaching that's the work. Yes, it's not. The more important work is for you to climb the pulpit. And you are preaching to very rich people. And you are poor. And you don't covet their goods. That is, you still purify your heart. Are you getting my point? That is the work. To preach is not hard. That one just to carry Bible. Use concordance. Arrange the scriptures and start reading everything together. That one is not difficult. But to be able to stand, and then your wife has so annoyed you and you don't start preaching on submission, that is the work of God. Yeah, that's it. Some preachers, they reach out, they don't fight. And they reach out. Today's message is submission. Submission is a good topic, isn't it? But why today? That is the work of God. To be able to stand and say, no, my message is second coming of Jesus. Let me preach my second coming of Jesus. That's it. You know, pastors don't realize that some of these things are very bad sin. You come to church, the church needs a roof, and you start preaching a message on leaking lives. Why are the lives leaking? It is because the house of God does not have a roof. You'll soon die. I'm telling you. All these wrong doctrines, they injure people. They're not good. People don't realize it. Like I always tell preachers, if you're listening to this and you're a preacher, it's very simple to handle. Come and just say it like that. Brethren, our church, not the house of God, forget that rubbish. It's not the house of God. It's our church building. Because if it's the house of God, everybody's house they are coming from is the house of God. Do you follow my point? Their car is the house of God. The shirt they are wearing is the house of God. So don't even try to harass anybody with that. That building you gather inside is a building you gather inside. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. But it's not good it is leaking. I have preached where it's leaking before. And it's not good. So if it's not supposed to leak, and like I always say jokingly, we will not go to Dangote just because he's the richest man in Africa. He should not be the one to give us money. It's an insult on our God. It's an insult. We don't go out to go and beg people who are not committed believers to come and give us money to do the work of ministry. We're insulting the Lord Jesus when we do that. So we'll talk to ourselves and just say simply, our roof needs to be properly installed. And we are not going out to go and beg. Who else will pay the money? Then we'll talk to ourselves. And when we say things honestly like that, brethren will respond. I've given this illustration before. I'm the president of my alumni fellowship. I've been for many years now. And that's how I handle matters. Last convention, they told me, sir, it looks like money is not together. And I see, our God is so faithful that if money is not complete, we have a problem. He doesn't have a problem. So I told my brethren, the reason why, what God is telling us is that we are misbehaving. I've checked it. Our expenses were not out of order. We're spending the way we should spend. So we're not extravagant in anything. So why was our money not balanced? We are not giving as we should. In all these years I've been president, it happened twice. Once I wrote them an email. I said, listen, my brethren, this is happening simply because we have been growing, but we are pretending like we are not growing. That many of us give a 100,000 naira offering towards the convention and it looks so big. I give them a breakdown of what it takes to host one family. I said, brethren, you have increased. Stop pretending. Many of you drive down to convention with your cars bought brand new. You still give me 100,000 naira. If I pray that tire, all the four tires will go down at the same time. Just start in the morning. You know, brand new motor tire will go down. Boom. Yeah, it is me. As you are changing it, the next one goes down. Say, so, boy, come. God is telling you that you are not behaving like your level. We talked to, and I love my brother. Of course, when they read the mail, everybody responded. The next time it happened again, I said, no, we have increased. Because what happens is that as we are growing, our expenses will be growing. And the way the Lord has done it is that, of course, that's just the way life is. Not everybody is at the same level. So God gives most of the money to a few people. But then maybe they give an offering that they think is large and they relax. So I had to tell them, my brethren, your offering is not good. Don't deceive yourself. You may have given 500,000 naira for the convention and you're excited. When God says you can drop 2 million, why are you behaving like this? So one of those, I just mounted the pulpit like that. I tell them, brethren, guys, you are not doing well. And one brother left the hall, picked up his phone, phew, 2-1 million inside. I said, now you are behaving. Now, this is what we are talking about. This is the will of God concerning you, your sanctification. This is sanctification. It says simply, brethren, look, God's children are good people. They're not bad people. I'm talking about the work of God. Let me not leave that side, all right? So if you're a preacher, that's just for you to understand. Teach people the truth and say things the way they are. God will move. No, the Lord is good. That's all I can say. He's very good. He will arrange everything. He will give willing hearts. And he will bless those that have willing hearts. At the end of the day, everything will balance. But it is the work of God, back to where we began from, for you to discipline yourself and say, no matter what happens, this word must be handled with purity. This word must be handled with purity. It is, listen, just by the way, you know when you hear preachers, no, Pastor Kimute will say something just now, that he was thinking of who will come and at the program, the good of the land, looking for who will come and lead prayer. He had, of course, I was preaching, Pastor Cosmo was preaching. He was just trying to bring other people that had not been there before. He said the only person he could think of was our Pastor Murphy. Why? That most preachers he knows, if you give them a microphone to pray, the topic will change. Now, this is where I'm going. Many preachers are angry with the country. You now give them a microphone to pray for the country. They would ask all the leaders that say will not progress, die by fire. So God kills him by fire because he's one of those people that's not allowing us to progress. He doesn't know. Why? Because when he mounts the pulpit, he's angry. I've seen people praying before. Do you think what's going on in this country is correct? People are occupying positions you are supposed to occupy. I feel like, who told you you are supposed to occupy that position? And it's a prayer point. It's a prayer meeting. You see, this is indiscipline. I said, look, and when you said that thing, I said, look, that's what we need to keep on praying for the body of Christ. Our problem in Nigeria is not PDP or APC. Those are not the problems. It's just the body of Christ. I went somewhere once, a big man, general overseer of his own denomination, came all the way from Lagos to Enugu. And I went to the church that day. And I was saying, what kind of country? And these are people that claim they are praying for the country. Is this a country? What kind of country is this where people did not sit down to write the constitution? He forgets that Great Britain does not have a constitution. Many people don't know that. Oh, it's an unwritten document. Their own is in their hearts.
And he said, this kind of nation that all kinds of people come together and they say they are one country. He forgets that America that he's living in right now, I know the man. It's a congregation of all kinds of human beings. Different colors, different ideas. In America, when you're on the street, you don't even know who is who. They say Tiger Woods is what tribe. Nobody knows which ethnic group, or what do you call them now? Which race? Nobody knows the race of Tiger Woods. Think about it. You never thought about it before. He's a mixture of everything. He has white in him. He has black. He has Asian. I think his grandmother, somebody is Thai, from Thailand. By the time you see, Tiger Woods himself does not know who he is. Yeah. Sometimes we tell him that Barack Obama is a black president. I say, why is he not a white president? After all, he's half white. The guy is not a black president. Forget all of this lie we lie to ourselves and we just be deceiving ourselves. The guy is not a white black president. He's a white man who has a bit of Kenyan blood. How do I know that? His mother was pure white. His father was pure black, right? That's 50-50. Then was raised in a pure white neighborhood. That's 90-10. Only 10% of that fellow is black. I'm happy to say that because I don't like him. So I can donate him to the white people. You are getting my point. Now, but listen, but they are a country everybody wants to run to. El Rufai said something, which when I heard it, I said I'd never thought about it. They said diversity is our problem. He said, okay, let's think about it. That Somalia is one of the most unstable countries in the world. Yet they are all black, all the same race, all the same ethnic group, and all of them are Muslims. Yet they don't have a government in the center. That is, there was a time when Mohammed Farah Aidid. I remember when Farah Aidid was the problem. Then America came to arrest him and they killed all the Americans. Bill Clinton packed them and went back home. Then they have Al-Shabaab. They place their every day, as they are bombing in Iraq, there's bombing in Mogadishu. El-Rufai said, that is one country that they have everything Nigerians are claiming is what we need for there to be stability. He said it's not true. And I had to agree with him 100% because this was fact. Go and check it. Somalia is thoroughly unstable. Yet they are all Muslims. They are all black. They are mostly, if not everybody, the same ethnic group. Yet the pastor came up, disobeyed the scriptures entirely, and starts telling me Nigeria is not a country because it did not come together to arrange. Listen. As a preacher, it's not just to preach. You have nothing else in your heart. You don't have an ulterior motive. Nothing is pushing you to speak more than the fact that what you are saying, you know it to be the truth, and it's supposed to minister to the people of God. The real work is not that one, no, the preaching. The real work is to be able to come to that state where the Spirit of God can flow through you, and you have not been confused by the secret things of dishonesty, like Paul was writing to the Corinthians. That's God's work. God's work is, I'm going to work. I work for federal government. With what attitude am I going inside there? That's what the work of God is. It's not just the... No. It's not the physical movements. It's those things behind in the heart that's propelling what we are doing outside. That is where the real work is. What I've been trying to do over the last few weeks is to explain to people that, listen, most of us are not preachers. Ministry is not about preaching alone. All of us should be able to preach. Not only should be able to, all of us should communicate the gospel to people. But there are those who are, in quote, called to be preachers and teachers of the word of God. Paul talked about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But he now said, we've deduced that from Romans chapter 12, that their own job, he said, is to stir up the grace that is in the other people in the body of Christ. Everybody is a minister. But these people stir up the grace. They teach them how to handle the graces upon them. How do we know that? Paul said, through the grace given to me, I say to all of you, not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has given to each one a measure of grace. They now began to talk about the dispensation of grace in the life of each person. Everybody is ministry. Very important. So what is ministry? First, that is, what is our job as believers?
First, that's the primary thing. We are building ourselves into the exact image of Christ by imbibing his word. That was the first thing we established. If you are not doing that, no matter what you are doing outwardly, you are deceiving yourself, you are lying. We have read from the scriptures that it is possible to do everything people call ministry. Build denominations, build churches, go to difficult areas. We have seen from the words of Paul that it is possible for somebody to so serve God, in quote, and give himself up to be burnt. And Paul said, and profit nothing. Which tells you all these suicide bombers, you understand, Paul already told us what will happen to them. He said, because what they are doing is not motivated by love. So if you look, it's not now. People were giving themselves up to be burnt in the times of Paul. So you go and blow yourself up. 70 nothing. In fact, 70 evil spirits are waiting for you. In life, stop looking for what we call reward, what we human beings call reward. The reward of God is not the way human beings look at it. The day I found that one out, serving God even became easier, even though for many people it appeared more difficult. God doesn't promise you anything material as your reward. The reward he promises believers, reward, is that you will see the fruit of your labor and you will be glad. That's the reward of the Christian. People say when you give an offering 5,000 naira, God will make it 500,000. God gives you 500,000 because you gave 5,000. You know what that means? It means next time be able to give 500,000. It doesn't mean eat 500,000. If you eat that 500,000, you'll get a goiter. Yes, that's scripture. Look, the Bible says, it's in the scripture like that Paul was writing. He said, God will multiply your what? Seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. What is that harvest? You see what the Bible is talking about. He said, listen, what was the profit that Jesus gained? It was simply that, let me summarize it, he did not die in vain. That's the profit. If you do a job well, God rewards you with more job to do because you have shown that you are a good one. He rewards you. That's it. So you've been faithful in a little thing. Now I reward you with plenty. No, he didn't say so. He said, be in charge of plenty. That's the way it is. It's, you are in charge. So we believers, if we are faithful in little, then God gives us the opportunity to be faithful in much. Very important. So, when we are doing things, therefore, I was trying to explain, Paul said people can give up their bodies to be burnt, but they don't have love. He said it profits them nothing. It profits them nothing. So when we are walking in life, listen, it's that those things that are inside us are the things that are more important. Those are the things that are the work of God, really, for us to be shaping ourselves. You see, as I go, I want to explain it again today. Because actually what God is doing, all right, he will do once he has people who are available to let him walk through them. God does not want people who can walk for him. He wants people he can walk through. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
He doesn't want people who can walk for, but he wants people he can walk through. So that he'll be the one at work within them, both to will and to do. So Paul can plant, Apollos may water, but that increase is God that is actually working it out in everybody. That is why he's so concerned about what people are becoming, not what they are doing. Because if they become the right thing, he can do everything that he's supposed to do through them. That's why he's so emphatic about it. And that's one of the things I want to talk about again today, this power of grace, which we get back to again and again. Grace is that which God is accomplishing as I'm making myself available for him to use. As God is walking through me, then we say that's grace manifested. So believers, no, it's not as if we are trying hard to go and do something for God. No, we just ensure that he can walk through us. So among the things we have said, I'm just trying to do it because we've been on it for some time. This is like the 11th day on it. So we have to just review a bit so that we can pick up from here again. Among the things that we have seen that our job is to demonstrate God in visible reality. One thing I said about last or 2 weeks ago is that anywhere God wants to go, the first thing he does is what? Send people ahead. Like I was saying, it's those he wants to walk through. So if he doesn't have people to send ahead, he can't come there. It's not only in church. There are many kingdoms in the world. Everywhere must become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. How does he do it? He sends two by two. He sends them in pairs. He sends people there in pairs. They say two is the number of what? Apostle? Two is number of what? Man of God, though. I asked you for two. Why do people do like this? I know it, so I just want to test you. Any other man of God that knows it? All of us are very happy now. They say, no, I'm not a preacher. That's a preacher. They say two is the number of agreement. You know, we can manufacture two. One is the number of unity, two is the number of agreement, three is the number of trinity, four is the number of something, then five is the number of grace. What is four? This man doesn't know numerology. Six is the number of what? Man. Oh, that's very good. Six is the number of man. Seven is the number of rest or perfection. Eight is the number of a new beginning. Nine is the number of something. Six upside down, I don't know what that is. 10 is the number of
commandments.
Uh-huh. 11 is the number of Judas has died. Twelve is the number of apostleship. Anything more than that, you're on your own. The Lord is good. So he sends them out two by two. If every Christian understands and they're in agreement, let's use that too as number of agreement, that this is the assignment of God, then God can come in and manifest himself in that particular place. Don't ever forget. It's not just Christian, it's not just preachers, it's every single person. And while they are there, what does he say? He said, go there until I come. He said, the places that he wants to come to. So he said, be busy until I come. Exercise your gift until I come. All right? Continue that transformation of Christ-likeness in your life until I come. Don't look, like I said, let me say it again. God is not so interested in our ambitions. He will open doors for you. You will not have a choice but to walk through those doors. That's the way it is. What we need to do to exercise ourselves concerning is, where am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to be doing while I am improving my Christ-like nature on a daily basis? You find those things. God, look, any other thing that comes to your mind, pray about it. You know, you see, do you know we often overlook, it's lack of faith, we overlook a lot of the direct instructions of the Lord Jesus and the apostles. He said, don't be concerned about anything. Just pray about everything. He said, ask the Father, he will give it to you. And Jesus was real about it. He told them, there was crisis. He said, if I wanted deliverance now, I will ask the Father for 12 legions of angels and they will drag me out of here. So people like to panic. You never saw him. Look, one of you things, I talk about the work of Christ, the work of God, is to build these things into you. Do you know, Jesus never panicked one day. I pray we'll all get to that point, including me, that no matter what, you won't panic. You couldn't get him to run a helter-skelter. Be shooting, that's your problem. First thing he does is to just bow his head down, what is going on? The Holy Spirit would not leave him in the dark. What prayer do I ask from the Father? What is it that such times ask for protection? And the Holy Spirit just say, okay, you go over there, stay here. Or follow this man, move out of this place. But panic not Jesus. They were in the midst of a storm. They woke him up. His only was like, why all the panic? You know, an average person should be able to understand why Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Matthew, all of them, should be panicking. Think about it. Peter told him simply, are you not bothered that we're about to die? If you're about to die, you should panic. Then Jesus looked at him and said, why were you panicking? As if he couldn't see the trouble. And listen, and that's his attitude. Don't panic. I told you again and again, which is true. God is so kind to me. When they say, Naira is going like this, dollar is going this way, I every day ask my wife, I used to laugh about it. I said something about it one day in my office. One man decided that, he said, sir, I'm sure you bought a lot of Forex and stored it up. That's why you are not bothered. And it hit me that the guy was correct. Very correct. He said, like, how much do you have laid up in Forex? I said, you can't count it. It's too plenty. I said, except that it's not called Forex. It's called Spirex. It's spiritual exchange. Everything the Lord Jesus said, we should learn, all right, to walk by it. We learn to, because listen, why I talked about that is that if he says, all right, don't be anxious about anything. Just ask the Lord about it. It means if you are walking somewhere now,
You said, okay, this is where I'm supposed to be, and I'm proving faithful, I'm occupied, we have agreed now, until he comes, by exercising my gift. If something comes to my mind, I say, this is where I would rather be, or this is where I believe that my destiny might lie. We are not always very sure about that, okay? Then what do? You just bow your heads there and ask the Lord for it. And then continue your work. But you know, we are so good at disobeying Jesus. Christians are so good. They will start explaining it away. He said, pray for your enemies. We say, pray for so that they will die. And we have whole movement on the killing of enemies. My Father, my Maker. As I begin to pray, all every power fighting my destiny, die by fire. All those satanic prayer, we turn it into a culture. It's so painful. We turn satanic prayer, witchcraft prayer, into culture, into a Christian culture, and people are bragging about it. All my enemies, you will die by fire. If you pray like that, you are not well. And me saying it like that is the nicest thing I could muster myself to say. If you know what I wanted to say, you run out of here. Actually, I won't say it again. But what I wanted to say, I can't even say. Let me leave it. No, because the Lord Jesus, the first instruction he gave concerning praying was, please, when you think somebody's your enemy, ask the Lord to have mercy on him. Do good to him. Pray that he doesn't go to hellfire. Pray that you have the knowledge of truth. Why? Because you have one enemy. He said your adversary, the devil. He didn't say your chief adversary, the devil. He said your adversary, the devil. That is the only person that's your adversary is the devil. It's not Boko Haram. Paul said, who's your adversary? Is the devil. Peter said it. Your adversary, the devil, goes around seeking whom he may devour. Who you should resist steadfast in your faith. It's the work of God to bring yourself to a point where you are convinced about these things. That's God's work. In fact, it's good because today I'm going on into the matter of prayer, because prayer is God's work. That's what I wanted to get into today. Eventually, I was going to get there. So it's good I'm saying these things. Please, if you've not been coming around for a school of prayer, please go and get our messages that we have prayed on it. We have preached, sorry, on prayer. All of them are available on our website, pastor.ng. You can download all of them. Instead of gathering money to send your children to expensive education that you cannot even afford, which does not do anything for them anyway, they just come back with another certificate and queue up for a job, just like everybody else. Doesn't make them smart, doesn't make them wise. They are as stupid as the average people on the road. The godliness that was inside them before has even reduced in quality. Facts. All this road noise we are making. Listen, Oral Roberts said the worst decision of his life was to send his son to Stanford. In case you don't know what Stanford is, Google came out of Stanford. Most of these technological companies that come out of the US, the people are Stanford graduates. What you and I call Google today, the search engine, was a PhD work, all right, of Sergey Brin and Larry Page, as they were Stanford students. This is the top, cream de la cream, you know, get my point? Top of the food chain university in the United States. When you wanted technology, people who go to and invent things, they went to Stanford. If you want to be speaking English, become a lawyer, you go to Harvard. But you want an engineer, you send him to Stanford. Yet, Oral Roberts said, it was the worst decision of his life. Because he said his son went there as a vibrant believer. He came back an agnostic. Finally, they never got that boy's head correct again. He went on drugs. He would be in rehab. He got a divorce. At the end of the day, the boy woke up one morning, drove his car to a lonely place, pulled out a gun and killed himself. The only thing Oral Roberts traced it to was that he, a preacher, stood up one day and made the decision to send his son to a godless environment to be trained. He said, it's the worst decision I ever made. Yet we sit down and brag about rubbish. People that you will give a book, read, they say it's expensive, $2,005. Yet they will look for $10,000, $20,000 to pay fees. Yet, what will make a child succeed? Go and read it. Go and listen to it. There is free online. How to bless your children. Listen, no matter the degree they have, Harvard, Stanford, Princeton, UNILAG, let's even add Nigeria, UNN, Covenant University, if they don't have a blessing working on their lives, all that will happen is that they will queue up for a job at the door of the man or of the woman who has a blessing working in her life. That's what's going to happen. With their Stanford degree, they will come and meet Dangote. Good afternoon, sir. Do you have anything for us? That's all that will happen. They will queue for a job and be managing companies built by men that did not go to school. Let's put our priorities where things are supposed to be. Am I saying good education is bad? No, I didn't say so. I just said it's inferior to the power of a blessing. After I finished speaking today, Pastor Cosmas and I were talking. He said, that thing you said, he now gave me a testimony, a story he knows. Let me just, because of the way he told me. He said, a young man like that went to school, now went abroad, did learn this one, and came back home. After some time, let me make a long story short, he committed suicide. So when everybody was now greeting the parents, sorry, said the mother said, let's just assume the guy's name was Sam. It wasn't Sam, it was something. Said that the Sam we sent out of this country was not the Sam that came back. You know, people don't think about all of these things. They need to gather money and send a 16-year-old, a 15-year-old, to a godless environment, and you are bragging, where's your son? He's in heaven. The boy can't quote to scripture. I pray we believers understand. All right? I pray that we will understand what's actually valuable. He said, a son, a child that understands righteousness and justice, with a blessing from the parents, we go further in life and all the degrees all over the world will queue for the guy to help them. Listen. One of the scriptures I want to read today, all right, is that Jesus gave us a commandment. Men ought always to pray and not to get tired and not to faint and not to lose heart. When he said that, he was telling them, this is the key to breakthrough. This is the key to victory. This is the key to success. Not all this you guys are pursuing. He said, men ought always to pray and not get tired. Paul said, be devoted to prayer. That's how I even went into that. So they've learned a lot of bad praying. But right now, Nigerians are devoted to rubbish praying. It's painful. The church is so devoted to nonsensical praying. Fighting spirits, inventing names. Incubus, succubus, Asmodeus, and Asmodeus. And using it to pray. Things you don't find in the scriptures. We just turn this thing to life and we think we are praying. You see some prayer manuals, you look through it. And say, if you were God, will you answer these prayers? Spend a whole night asking everybody to die. We are engaged in the kind of warfare that Jesus said, okay, if this was necessary, why would I have died? I would have just left you guys to be fighting. People are fighting spirits that Jesus said, listen, they have been brought to nothing. I don't know what I get the point. You are fighting spirits that he said have been brought to nothing. Listen, if we are devoted to serious prayer, believe me, the kind of result. Look, people are killing. For 1 year, you've been killing enemies. So the whole world is against you. Don't you think you have a problem? Listen, it's one of two things. Either your enemies are actually not dying, or you keep on manufacturing new enemies. As you kill off one, two will grow up. You know, those kind of, you watch films like Hercules. You remove the head of a dragon, two will grow out of the neck. You cut those ones, it becomes four. Maybe that's what's happening. Or let's forget it, you're not praying the right prayers. You're not. Please, get that our series. There are many there. Why I went to all of that is, we have the series there, How to Bless Your Children. How to Bless Your Children. One of my favorite scriptures, he said, the poor and the rich, they have one thing in common. God is the maker of them all. And when I read that scripture, the understanding that just came to my mind was this. God was saying, in effect, whatever the poor man can achieve, the rich man can achieve, the poor can also achieve it if they understand how to tap into the power of God. Anyway, the Lord is good. So we're working for God when we're using all of these principles, bringing the light of God. Remember, we said be occupied until He comes. We pray about things. We ask God specifically, this is what I want to do. Grant this to me.
He does a number of things. If the request is good, he amplifies it in your heart and you remain with it. If the request is bad, the more you pray about it, the less interest you have in the thing. After a while, it passes away. That's how we commit our ways to the Lord. All right? Well, wherever we are, he said we are to shine light. Don't forget that. We keep on shining the light of God. I said that, I taught that extensively last time. If you're not around, please make sure you get the CD for last Saturday, in which I explained extensively the fact that, listen, when a curse is released, the curse does not just scatter things. It makes them foolish. They start doing things that are wrong. Ahithophel will give you counsel, sound, able to get you victory, but you will reject it. Your name is Rehoboam. Rehoboam, people will come and tell this is how to move your country forward. You will reject it. Why? Because the curse has been released and I'm about to drag this throne, all right, out of your hands. I'm going to split this nation and reserve just two tribes for Judah to rule over. That is, for the house of David to retain the promise I gave to him. So the men became stupid. So that's why people are kept in bondage. But our emphasis is the other way around. When blessing is about to come again to their lives, God gives them wisdom. The Bible says that he reserves wisdom for the upright. He starts teaching them what is right to do. He starts telling them this is the proper way to run businesses. This is how to run ministries. This is how to run a home. Without the life of God, they couldn't tap into that wisdom. And like I said last time, this is a job of believers. Wherever God places you, start teaching the wisdom of God. And it's not just with words first, words are second. The first thing you do is to start living it out. You start living the wisdom of God out. We walk in the place, everybody is finding how to earn more and do less. You find that lesson. I can earn more, no problem, but let me do more. Let me create more value inside here. My boss must be making more money than he's paying me. Otherwise, I'm not a profitable servant. Do you get my point? If the man is running a business, he's giving me, just to make it easy to understand, he's giving me 500 naira. I mean, at least my conscience is a listen. The least I can do is make sure that my presence with him is giving him 1,000. Otherwise, I'm not a profitable servant. I should be unwilling to remain there. A man is shelling out 500 naira. And he can't say my presence is giving him at least, 1,000. So that we'll split it. You take 500, I take 500. It's a mindset. You may not be able to get up and deliberately create that immediately, but you have that mindset. One brother the other day, we were talking, he works for one of these big multinationals, all right, in the oil and gas industry. When they were just talking, he said, oh God, I have to do this. I have to save my company money. That's why they pay me. So when they want to do procurement, he's there, inspecting it, making sure the goods are good, making sure that he gets the best deal for their company, making sure that anytime the company needs something and they send him to go and represent them, he gets them the best deal. He told me, this is why I am paid. I have to be worth the money they are paying me. And when they are doing procurement, it's not 5,000 naira, they talk 50 million, 100 million, 500 million, 1 billion, that kind of amount of money is what I'm talking about. Now, I'm just trying to emphasize something. So what we do is that we go to places, that's what we call the light of Christ. We start living it out. We have a different attitude. Everybody says, I must earn some more. You say, no, I must input some more. My presence must be a blessing. That mindset is different. You are teaching people how to live differently. They are not just teaching now, you are living differently. Why are you like this? That's how you share your faith. Some people shouldn't preach. Do you get my point? Some people should not preach. Do you know why? They immunize people against the gospel. You know what they call immunization? A small dose of something, people become resistant. I've heard it before. That one is a Christian. I don't want to be one. You've heard it before? There are people that, look, you're working in offices, you don't have it. And listen, these testimonies are not difficult to generate. It's not as if, let me go there and go and do good. No. Just be a normal Christian. And don't worry. There are simple things you don't need to be told. When they are stealing, don't steal. Do we need to preach about that? When they are forging receipts, don't join them. The other ones people don't know. When they are speaking evil of their bosses, don't join them. And they say, are you telling me that everything the man does is right? He said, no, I don't know. I'm not saying so. But just that he's my boss, I'm forbidden to do this. Simple. When they are conspiring, don't join conspiracies. Why? You are doing Mr. Do Good. No, I'm not doing any Mr. Good Do Good or Miss Do Good. This is my life. I'm not used to conspiracies. Why are you doing this? This is my faith. That's my life. Let's do this one. I don't cut corners. No problem. We will cut the corner, but we'll write it down in our report. Corner cutting segment. This was when... It's true. Sometimes people ask me counsel. I say, okay, is this right? Is it wrong? I say, can you tell your boss? If the answer is no, then it's wrong. Leave it. Let's not find out where it is in the scripture. If you can't tell the man, then leave it now. And when we start living like that, that's what I'm going to make. Listen, these things are not... Let me just quickly add this one to it, and I'll leave that segment. Continue. Nobody say this is easy. And that's what I want to emphasize. We are saying it is right. And if we know what is right, we start working to making sure we live according to that which is right. We start praying. You cannot force yourself to change an environment. You just live your life as you understand righteousness. And this is what I want to talk about today. And you learn to pray. You learn to pray about things. And I want to talk about that. Then we're talking about the work of God. You know, we've been explaining it. It's not that I leave my office, I go to church, I'm a good Christian. No. That my office is a place where I demonstrate my Christianity. That my business is a place where I demonstrate my Christianity. People should be able to walk into your office, your business place, and have a different environment and feel it that it's even later they will discover that you're a Christian. You're getting my point here? I have a few personal testimonies, which when I heard, I said, wow. One day, one of my class captain came to my office many years ago. I mean, he's a big man now. He's a doctor now. So he sat down. I said, class captain, what's going on? He said, nothing, sir. He was depressed. He was unhappy. He failed an exam. Things were rough. I said, what is it? He said, nothing, sir. I just want to sit in your office. I said, oh, go ahead, sit. So he sat. He said, I just want to sit here. So he came, he sat, and I didn't talk to him. I continued my work. After he had sat long enough, what is the problem? I can't remember the detail, whether we discuss anything, but he told me he just came to sit. Why are you sitting? That he needs an ambience, let me use my own words now, to improve his state. He said, I just wanted to come to sit. So I said, okay, go ahead, sit down there. I just ignored him, and I continued my work. I mean, I've had situations again and again. Students come to talk. Why? They didn't even know. It was someone else who came to town. They didn't even know I was a preacher. See, the way this my lecturer talks, he can't help me with these issues I'm having. Only to find out later that this guy is actually a preacher. Are you getting my point? I told them once I was in the office. One lady who we had worked together called me. Please, sir, where are you? I need to see you. I thought it was something serious. When she came, say, and you didn't tell us. I said, tell you what? You didn't even tell us. What am I supposed to tell you? Saw a book with one of her friends. And then she wanted to borrow the book. In the process of it anyway, she turned the book over and saw my photograph at the back that I was the author. She said, I know this man. We work together. So that's why she started rushing. Where are you? I need to see you. Finally, she came. She saw me that day. And I said, hey, you didn't tell us. You didn't tell us where the... What am I supposed to tell you? She now made a statement, which I give God glory. She said, no wonder you're different. Now, she never expatiated on my difference. Whether that's why I'm black like this, I don't know. She didn't tell me that. She just said, no wonder you are different. Let me tell you the truth. This Christianity, be careful yourself. What did I say? Be careful yourself. Like we say in Nigeria. There are times I'd be thanking God, saying, Lord, thank you that I didn't embarrass you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, what I'm talking about, dude, there are many places I've been to. You finish being yourself. Someone just come, Pastor Frankie, how are you, sir? Huh? And I say, Father, thank you. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That we didn't disgrace you. One day, my landlord, this really happened. I called, normally my rent is due at a particular time. And a few days before it's due, I called my landlord's son and... And I might deal with him. I give him the check to cover the next year's rent. So one day I wanted to pay him. I just called him. Once I called, this was a few days before the rent was due. So once I called that week, he knows why I'm calling. I just said, hey, where are you? Where can I drop the check? Stuff like that. So that day he was hailing me. Hey, this man.
This man, you always pay, you are one of the few tenants that, you know, he talk. Anyway, that's not the gist. Then one day, my landlord is an elderly man. He's 80-something, maybe like 83 now, thereabout. 83, 84, yes. No, it can't be less than 85. So one day, now I'm chaplain to a fellowship of senior citizens. I didn't start it. Some people started it, so they normally have a chaplain. So the chaplain that was there before got transferred out of town, and I'd preached for them a number of times because I preached somewhere else where one of them was present, so I was invited. So then I said, they need a new chaplain. So they approached me, and I accepted to do the work. So a number of us here, they've been there with me, all right? And we'll do some of the work even here to help out. So we now organize a program. So people were inviting people, you know, and our invitation is not for younger people. Generally, the typical member is 70, 80. That's the kind of age, okay? So I preach there most of the time. Once in a while, we have guests during our meetings. So now, why am I talking about it? One of the guests for that day was now my landlord. I told my wife, I said, praise God, though. Do you understand? They came in, and they saw me, and they said, this is our chaplain, Dr. Lucino, you know, that kind of thing. All right? I think that day I was even the one that preached, conducted the whole meeting, and so my mind is that, assuming that I refuse to pay this man his money, as I'm preaching, he'll be looking at me like this. The man will just be looking at me, say, this boy, okay, I will soon get you. So, yeah, and the man is a preacher, you know, the elderly man. He's also, yeah, he runs a ministry. He didn't know all of this about me until that day that he just entered the place and saw, who's the chaplain of the place where I was invited to come and fellowship with them today? Is this young man? So I told my wife, I said, praise God, though. Listen, as a Christian, let me tell you the truth, eh? Everything you are doing, just know you are representing Christ. So please represent him properly. Please represent him properly. Even listen, now, because of my own ministry work, I meet people in strange places. Now I have to behave myself regularly now. You can't even just piss on the road anyhow, because you see, that's Pastor Frank, I need a piss for that. It's not good, though. I mean, yeah, okay, they still remember they were coming from Makurdi, and one highway patrolman stopped our vehicle, and the man was looking at me. After some time, he said, please, sir, can I know you? He said, what do you do? I said, I'm a university teacher. I wanted to just play it cool. I said, well, I'm also a pastor. Ah, he said, Pastor Banky. Yeah, that's it. Inside the bush on the way to my God, he said, he's been looking at me, just grabbed my two hands like this and screamed. That's why I told him, man must behave himself. Yeah, you just have to behave yourself because you don't, that's a matter of fact. All right? So it's very important for us believers to understand this. Whatever we are doing, really. And that's where the work is. That's what I want to emphasize. That's where the work is. It's not easy. It's not fleshy. You can't use determination and say, I'm going to be a good Christian. You will have been a bad Muslim before you realize that you were anything at all. Yeah. And that's where prayer comes in. Do you understand? We have to do everything with the power of prayer. Not by ourselves, but with the power of what? Prayer, very important. Now, so that's what we've been talking about. Let's just continue that. So, I just wanted to emphasize that to let us know that praying is a way by which we do these things. We activate grace by prayer. Whatever we are doing in life is not by our own strength, it's by the grace of God. One of my most important topics that I'd like to teach on is that grace topic. Grace, like I said at the beginning, whatever we are doing is not by our strength, but God is working through us because we are available. That's the way it is. God is working through us. We have to activate that power of grace in our lives. Very important. Now, the part of it that we're looking at today is that matter of prayer. Very important. Now, let me say something. I want to talk about... Okay, you know what I said earlier? That wherever we go, it's because God wants to come in there. Now, there's something we must understand. Let's talk about praying now. I'm getting to that issue of praying as part of working for God. Many of us, most of us believers, we are taught to pray concern our personal needs. Now remember I said we go to places, God says, it's because I want to come there, that's why I've sent you. Go there, be occupied. Now one thing many of us have not been taught to do is for us to take our place of work and be praying for the place as an assignment from God. Listen, Satan is very terrible. His job is to make us do the opposite of what God wants us to do. What we do most of the time, without realizing it, is
what the Bible calls accusation. Let me tell you what accusation is. Let me tell you something about temptations. Most of the time we fall for temptations, we don't even know we are falling for it already. Yes. You know, the interesting side is that we often look at those things that we call sin. You know? Did I steal money? Did I tell a lie? That is a frank lie, you can see. How many of you were there? It was only me, sir. Meanwhile, you know there were four. You know, those obvious lies. You know, did I commit adultery? Those kind of things are the only things we call sin. And that is sad. That is sad. Because once we can check all of those things, I didn't do that, I didn't do that, I didn't take anybody's money, we feel as if we have done what is right. But like I said on Tuesdays, we'll be talking about Ephesians and the book of Colossians. We've seen that for Christians, the law, writing laws for Christians is extremely difficult. Because Christianity is alive. Being a disciple of Christ is a living thing. Christianity is alive. So we can't just say, okay, these are the laws of Christianity. Every day as we are living, we are discovering new things. Okay? And when Paul was speaking, he was giving us a guide. That's why he gave a few commandments. Don't lie to one another. Don't cheat each other. All those kind of things. But if we look at it, working according to the principle of love for God and love for man, there are many things that he says a Christian is not supposed to do. That many of us that do, don't even realize they are sins. I'll give a few examples. Let me tell you the kind of sin you commit every day you don't realize. Most of us. We sit down, analyze everything Buhari has done wrong. Let me tell you, it's a sin. You are breaking the law of God. You sit down, you drive to Onitsha and back. Onitsha used to be, when I first came to Enugu, to Onitsha was 1 hour. But of course, last week, 2 weeks ago, how many hours was Onitsha? Five. Somebody even said six. And in fact, that's the best timing. There was no guarantee. When you reach there, you calculate them. There are those who get there in 5 hours because they left early. So what about those who went late that day? Now, if I say this, it surprises a lot of people. Do you know any time you come back and sit down and start whining about how bad the road is, you are just committing the iniquity that did not let people enter the promised land. But when you say, one day I told one of my friends when I was in school, that you're not supposed to complain food is bad. Because there's a problem with it. Once you start eating the food and you started with Thanksgiving, you have removed your ability to whine about the food. You can't complain about the quality. You can't complain about the size. You must start the food with Thanksgiving and end it with rejoicing. Do you know that's the law of Christianity? This guy breathes out like, my father, my father, my father. That's the law of Christianity. Now, Christianity is not no big joke. It's not a joke at all. Many of us don't realize it. Every time you settle down and sit down and all this normal criticism of government that we do, do you know it's a sin every single time? Do you know why? It's simple. Because in life, you have to choose the side you are on. You are either an intercessor or you are an accuser. That's just the way it is. And the truth is that you will know. This is a matter of fact. If you are going to settle down and criticize and complain, you can't pray at the same time. They don't go together. And if you have prayed, all right, and interceded, you can no longer criticize and whine. You are forced by simple training of faith not to counteract the things that you have prayed about. So it's easy to know Christians who are not praying for the country. It's easy. Or who their prayers have no meaning. Because every time you sit down, sit them down, they whine about power supply, whine about security, whine about bad roads, whine about government, whine about every single thing. That is the very sin why people could not enter into the promised land. See why I tell you that it's been so hard for God to bless even when he wanted to. If he destroyed people who said you can't enter the promised land, why will he bless people now? Has it changed? No. And many of us don't realize, like I said, it's work. We're talking about work for God. Okay, God places you somewhere. He doesn't want to hear whining. He doesn't want to hear complaining. What he wants to hear from you every day is what? Intercession. I said, go and teach in a secondary school in Enugu State. You are under the state, the school's management board. God said, listen, these are things I want to hear from you and I don't want to hear. One, I don't ever want to hear anyone whining about your salary. I don't want, and listen, not whining to him or whining to anybody. Because the Bible says, those that fear the Lord speak often one to another, and the Lord heard. So I don't want to hear whining about your salary. I don't want to hear whining about the state government. I don't want to hear whining about anything at all. I don't want to hear whining about the pupils or their parents. And what you call whining is simple. I don't know what's wrong in this country. Look at you. And government, they won't even provide this. Look at the schools. They are writing with chalk. In 2016, what kind of thing is that? If you go to America now, they don't write with chalk again. They just blink and the board will write for them. You know? Know the truth about whining? Whining, that is, murmuring. Let's use the scriptural word. Know the truth about murmuring? Murmuring always states correct, genuine facts. Murmuring doesn't lie. Murmurers are not liars. They are people who've seen the facts and they are repeating it and using it to make judgments concerning what is not going to happen. Were there giants in the land? No, answer me. Were there giants in the land?
Yes.
There were giants in the land. But God said they were murmuring. Were they hungry at the point in time?
Yes.
Were they thirsty?
Yes.
Was there food in Egypt?
Yes.
Everything they said was correct. Except that they chose the negative things to talk about. They did not choose the positive things to talk about. Caleb and Joshua were different. They did not murmur. They chose the positive things to talk about. We are able. The land is good. God is on our side. He delivered us from Egypt. And he has been helping us. He will help us. So murmurers and faith people, they see the same things. It's what they talk about. You must understand what you talk about, the Lord is listening. He said to them in Malachi, those that fear the Lord speak, King James, they speak often one to another, and the Lord heard. And a book of remembrance was written before the Lord because of what they said. Those who spoke opposite, listen, many of the facts you are discussing every day is the reason why your destiny is farther and farther away. You are stating facts. The problem is that the facts are already known. And God said, we are aware of the facts. We are just saying that the changing of what is real. Yes, we know the facts, but how do we make it new? We depend on you to pray the necessary prayers and declare the right words. So amplifying what is already obvious is not helping. I don't know whether I get my point here. It doesn't say there's water on this place. There's water. So every time you say there's water, and what are you doing? You are sprinkling more water. He said, I don't want it to dry so that when they come, they know there was water when I came here. That's exactly what you are doing. Because I sent you there to go and do what? Dry up the water. Mop the place. Get it clean. People are about to arrive for a meeting. He said, no, if I do that now, they will think there was no water. So what do we do? Let's be sprinkling more water. That's exactly what Christians do when they sit every day and analyze what is wrong. So God calls them murmurers. And he calls them accusers. And one party you don't want to join is any party that was on the side of Satan. So he says, all right, in that school where I kept you, what are you supposed to do? You will notice exactly what other people have noticed. But what is the result is the issue. He now says, you must be what? An intercessor. An intercessor doesn't talk to people, he talks to God. You are getting my point?
Yes,
he doesn't just go around complaining about things. He talks to God. Faith, listen, faith does not mean you didn't see your place. Let's get it clear. If your boss is a thief, he's a thief. That is, the principal of your school is a thief. You know what? He's a thief. So I'm not saying that he's not a thief. Just say, no, that man is not a thief. No, I'm just saying that it's not your job to start broadcasting everywhere that he's a thief and is the reason why we will never move forward. Many of those things we say are prophetic. We don't realize it. One of my doctors a few days ago was telling me in the office, he said, Nigeria can't change you. I said, stop saying that. I said, sir, Nigeria cannot change. I said, let me tell you what that means. He said, what? I said, it means when it changes, you will not be blessed.
Yeah.
Sure. I have the way God gave me that spirit. You just shut up, start. He had to shut up instantly. I said, stop saying that. You have, when the Bible says, judge not, that's what Jesus was saying. Don't pronounce judgment. It doesn't mean don't critically appraise, but don't pronounce judgment. Nigeria will not change. It's a pronunciation. You are prophesying. You are prophesying. And my point is that anytime God wants to do something, he requires his people to be persistent prayer people. They must be persistent intercessors. Listen, the fact that God has promised something does not mean it will happen automatically. He promised deliverance for Israel through Jeremiah at the end of 70 years. 70 years came, Daniel had to pray. From Genesis, he had promised, the seed of the woman will bruise thy head. To make that come to pass, he enacted a covenant with Abraham. So these promises were there. Moses declared it. God will send you a prophet like me. Him you will hear. He prophesied it. A virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name. Listen, Isaiah prophesied it. Men have been prophesying. When they said the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, it was a prophetic word concerning the Messiah. Kiss his son, lest he be angry. It was a prophetic word concerning the Messiah. All over the place. But when it was time for the Messiah to come, God had to raise people to start praying the Messiah into existence. That's just the way it works. One woman, if I say this, you're going to wonder what's wrong with me, but it's Bible. One woman, God took away her husband so she could pray. Anna. There was another man, Simeon. That one prayed. You know, what God does is to pour a burden, a passion, a heart into you. That one prayed and God said, let me do you a favor. I told you, what God gives you is not more money. I gave a seed. God not give money. No, no. If you sow, if you give gladly, God gives you the opportunity and the ability to give more. That's his reward. What is his blessing? The blessing is that thing you are doing, he will let you see the fruit. So maybe one day you picked an orphan, a homeless boy, and you are struggling and trying to train him and send him to school. God said, don't worry. What he said, look at the reward of your work. One day, you will stand beside him proudly as he's graduating from school. Or they say, who gives this boy out in marriage? Did they say that? Oh, okay, better to be like this. When they say, who's the father of the groom, you know, to the high table, and they invite you. God said, that is a blessing. It's not as if I will now give you more children. That's not the issue. The issue is that, see, all these years you labored, I didn't let him die. I didn't let him run away. I made sure he was able to learn. I made sure he went to school. Today he has graduated. And the first day he's working, you understand, we made pay his first salary. He comes to give you, not because I can want salary pay for 20 years of labor. You know, it definitely can't do that. It's just that, you know, that, but that kind of money is sweet. You know, the money is sweet. You have it all, but this one is sweet. Why? This is 20 years of labor. He is now a man that can stand by himself and help other people. That is the fruit of your labor. So back to Simeon. So Simeon was praying and praying and praying. So God said, let me do something for you. Say what? You will not die until you see the salvation of God manifested in flesh. The man was old. He was tired. All his friends had died. His children's friends were dying. Two of his children had died. I don't know him. I'm just embellishing the story. You get my point. The man was tired. Maybe occasionally God shows him a glimpse of the other side. What am I still doing here? Ah, he said, I told you, you will not die until that child is born. And the day Jesus was brought to the temple, he heard the little child cry. He rushed down there. Now, why am I telling the story? Jesus didn't just show up. Mary didn't just show up out of nowhere. Some people prayed until Mary heard the angel. Many times angels are traveling. God sends them to places. There's obstruction on the way. People prayed until obstruction was clear so that Gabriel could go and deliver his message. You think Gabriel can just fly into any place he likes? He tried to fly to go and see Daniel. What is his name? Daniel. Nobody stopped and said, where did he go? Why? Listen, that's the way it works. So God always requires people to walk with him on the earth. That is why he doesn't actually appreciate it when we join those who murmur and complain, because we are actively working against him. Actively working against him. Apart from the fact that we are wasting time, that is, the mouth you will have used, because the same mouth cannot do the two. That's why we occupy it with one. Many of us don't realize it, and I think I'm happy we're talking about it. Anywhere you're walking, listen, forget all this one of gathering unbelievers to pray and join hands. It's very funny. Say, in this office, we're going to pray every morning. You join your hand with an adulterer, a liar, a cheat, an atheist, a demon worshiper, or Ogbanje spirit, and join hands. Say, we are praying in this office. No wonder your hand has been paining you. What am I saying? If you see that as an assignment, you come earlier than everybody. Close your door. Stay in your office. It's not intercession of 10 hours. It's 2, 3, 4 lines that are consistent. Father God, I am the light of God in this place. My presence is a blessing. Lord, I invoke that blessing to this office in the name of Jesus. Things will work well here. You will show us favor in the name. 2, 3 lines, 4 lines. You declare that and you go back. Whether you're working for government, or you're working for Aliko Dangote, the same thing. Are you getting my point? You do that because it's an assignment. It's an assignment. In life, things will not change until believers, because Jesus emphasized that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And I'm introducing to us today because many Christians, we've been taught, most of us, this is how we're taught. Prayer is about me. I need something. Someone will say, we are doing all night prayer. In fact, hey, there's one joke I saw. The man said, tonight we will locate your Goliath. So come with 5 stones and anointing oil. I'm very serious. But of course, you must come with 5 stones. Because when David was going to meet Goliath, he had 5 stones. I said, now, wow. That's the problem with us Christians. Can you see? What's wrong with 5 stones? The truth, you know the truth? Nothing wrong with 5 stones. God has diversity of manifestations. My problem with that thing is that we are coming there to look for our Goliath. That's my own problem. We've been trained to just continue to look for, our prayers are targeted at ourselves, at our problems. And listen, there is a difference between a prayer that has reward and a prayer that gets an answer. When Jesus, let's just read that, so it will be that we're reading something. Let's really go there. Sermon on the Mount. The book of Matthew chapter 6. From verse 1, chapter 6. He said, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet. Do not sound a trumpet before you as if hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now verse 5. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Let me stop here. Now, there's a reason why I just read this. I wanted to just emphasize to us again. We're talking about the work of God, how it is important we see praying as work. Let me say something about praying in this regard again. We are praying for the country. You must understand the prayer of... Let's just apply the word intercession for it to emphasize the fact that the prayer is not about you. It's about something else or somebody else. So this here, the Lord Jesus was talking about the prayer of intercession because he said they have their reward. I read all of that to let you see that the people were doing something. For example, he said, when you are giving, give in secret, then you have your reward. He also said that when you are praying, pray in secret, you have a reward. That tells you that this praying is something like that giving. It's not something you are doing for yourself. It's not saying you have your answer. Nobody prays for his own personal needs loudly. No matter how hypocritical you are, you won't do that. Say, Lord, I need more money. You will help me. Increase my business. No, usually when it gets to that point, you keep quiet. You now convert it to tongues so that you speak unto men. You speak not unto men. You are speaking to God. How big in the spirit? You are uttering mysteries. You don't want them to hear you. All this would not, you not know what you are praying about. No. So the Lord Jesus definitely was not telling us how to pray for ourselves. What were people praying about here? He was saying that people will, for my own conviction after reading this, even though the Bible didn't state it clearly, these were people praying for the redemption of Israel. These were people praying for the restoration of the kingdom of Israel. They prayed loudly so that people would notice that their heart is towards this nation of Israel, the kingdom of God. And that's what he was talking about. But the Lord Jesus was saying, listen, they will not get any reward for that because they are doing it so as to be seen by men. But our main issue actually there is that it shows that there's a kind of prayer you pray that gets a reward. There is. And I can summarize everything as this, the prayer of intercession. Today, after we finished preaching at Good of the Land, two different people came to me independently and said, you have been a tremendous blessing to me. Sir, one said, I will be praying for you. The other one said, I have been praying for you. Wow. Are you getting my point here? Never met them before until today. One said, I will be praying for you. The other one said, I have been praying for you and I will continue to pray for you. I think she added that one to it. Now, the people that have been praying for me, were it not that you organized a program, I wouldn't see them today. Are you getting my point? That the idea is that, and I don't know, I've gotten a few meals like that. For them, like, eh? So one man's own was that, listen, let this young man not go astray. I've seen people like this that went astray. So out of fear of losing another one, are you getting my point? He started praying. And listen, those are the prayers that have reward. He's not asking for anything. They want to have in mind now. It's just a passion that, look, body of Christ, please, we need teachers. We have found another one. Please, we know that the enemy doesn't like this idea. So, let us shield him against the onslaught of the enemy. And listen, as a preacher, you need prayer. Then, in fact, I've heard the preacher say, I'm sure he doesn't see it anymore. He said that, some people say, we are praying for you. So I said, no, pray that prayer for yourself. Let's see the result. Please, don't say it. What did I say? Don't say such things. All right? Don't. It's not good. Paul specifically requested prayer. He requested prayer to speak boldly. He requested prayer to be delivered from dangerous and evil men. He requested prayer for those things. Please. Don't even say that I don't need it. Please, I need it. I'm begging you. Pray for me. What did I say? Pray for me. No, I'm not telling you to repeat after me. What I mean is that I want to be prayed for. Banky is asking you to pray for him. One of our sisters asked me a question yesterday because it's one of our local brethren. So she saw all the flyers that I sent up and down that, okay, we'll be here. And she's seen my DPs. He said, Oga, now wow. He said something that's very, very funny. You're going to laugh. He said, all this your worker, they exhaust me. So this you're walking up and down, gets me exhausted. So I said, wait, oh, sis, now me the worker, now you the exhaust. She answered, he said, now so. She now said, I beg, I'm praying for you this night, that this night I will pray for you, which is very important. Don't just assume that things, no, listen, let me just say, Christians, things don't just work. God raises people to make sure they work. I don't have the idea that I preach because I know how to preach. No, that one that I learned that one when I was in school, that's not true. Though it's not because you know how to preach. It's an anointing. What did I call it?
Anointing.
Which means it's something that God pours and sends. And those things are accelerated when people make requests. Somebody will kneel down and say, Lord, let not the oil on his head dry. God said, thank you very much for that request. Because without such words, he doesn't intrude into the earth and start pouring oil everywhere. Yes. There are those who have seen the mistakes other preachers have made and say, sir, this one, he will not make this mistake. And do you know the truth? There are people that God said, this man will have died this year because there's nothing much he's doing. But I see that he prays for this guy and this person regularly. I don't have too many of him. I must make sure that this guy is preserved so he can pray for another 10 years until I raise new people who can continue this praying job for me. That's how God does things.
It's very important we get it. It needs us. So I'm saying all of this for us to understand what prayer is about. The prayer that has reward. We can whine, you know, very common to murmur about government. It's accusation. Words are so powerful. Those are the things that Satan gathers. And he goes to heaven and says to God, their country can't be well. And let me tell you, God is a judge. I've been saying it again and again. God is not just a father. He's a judge. What does being a judge mean? It means that even if he doesn't like what is going on, he will authorize it if the arguments are strong enough. That's why I said, when I was preaching earlier, so for all people say that, I say even if Jesus were the president of Nigeria, the way Nigerians behave, especially the church, forget everybody, because he has God has, in his wisdom, he has made sure that the thing is not balanced. The words of certain people are weightier than the words of other people. Those that have righteousness on their side, their words are weighty. So that's why Satan comes first into the church to try and tempt the church to say what is negative. So he takes his words, he goes to God in prayer. And like I was saying earlier, if God, Jesus was the head of state, what will he do? With the way we talk? It's so hard for him to do anything. Why? Because even though he was head of state, he was still subject to God the Father. Even if he were our head of state. And subject to God the judge, I wanted to say. And God the judge can be petitioned to say things shouldn't work well. And when the accuser wants to petition, what does he do? He takes the words, amongst the other things, that we have spoken, our deeds, and then our words. He takes them to God and say, all of them say their president is foolish. I am asking that foolishness be conferred upon the head of state. God will say, that these things don't spoil you. And Satan will stand like this. He's caught. My Lord, our application is that this court, this honorable court, should rule that the spirit of foolishness be dispatched to the earth to make the head of state foolish. And the Lord will first wait to say, I adjourn this hearing till tomorrow, hoping some Christians will rise and say something. And Jesus can't say anything because there's a way it is. The jurisdiction does not allow him to say anything. It's his body on the earth that must utter something. So they say, let them utter now. They will say, don't mind him. Now this master Boko Haram, Satan will say, he's writing everything down. It goes to the Christians. What do you say? This country must divide. He writes it down. And you know, he said, listen, what they have done to us, can't you see the bombing in the north? What did this man do? Was not the one that said the blood and the monkey, must baboon and monkey, must swim in blood? That's what we are seeing right now. Satan is writing everything down. And he stands in front of God, the judge. And no, listen, at the end of the day, God just says, no problem. Application granted. 2-3 wicked, foolish spirits. We head for Asurok. And we've seen it in the scripture. How does it happen? Ahithophel will come and tell the head of state, if we want power to be constant, we need to do this, privatize this area, let this one go, let this one do that, and somebody will say, oh, this is sound counsel of Ahithophel. And the head of state will want to say, let's authorize that. Then the spirit will possess another man. He will be a European, an American, two of them, they will come and say, no, Your Excellency, that's not going to work. It did not work in Botswana. It did not work in Malawi. There's no reason why I should work in another African country. Then that spirit will whisper to the head of state, they are white men, they know what they are saying. Go and read your Bible. God told that spirit, how will you do it? He said, I will be a lying spirit. No, come on, that's how these things work. And then, before your very eyes, one, the signature will come, and this head of state will authorize such a foolish decision that thinking people will say, this is stupid. The man who gave the counsel will leave the country the next day and say, this country is not moving forward. And then we'll sit down in our homes and say, we said so. I have enough facts to tell you. Our current predicament, all right, dollar-wise and all of that, which I'm not blaming anybody now, I've told you the background, okay? But I know how the foolishness came into power. Like I was preaching earlier today, I said it today. Dangote, Otetela & Co., they bought refineries from Obasanjo. You know when Obasanjo left office? What year was that? 2007. What year are we now? That's how many years?
over 9 years ago, Dangote had bought a Nigerian refinery. As of today, 35% on the average of our forex expenditure is on importation of petroleum products that are refined. As of today. Imagine, now get my point, that if we pour that amount of money into the market that is not pursuing petroleum, dollar will be 120. Because this 400 and something is half speculation. There will have been no need to speculate on dollar. If we're refining, that was why Dangote got angry. Okay, leave them. Let me show you what I'll do. I'll build my own. But it's taking him to 2019 to finish his own. You know the way those men are. If that guy, those men that bought those refineries had been allowed to let it work, 2008, 2009, latest 2012, they start churning these things out. They start expanding. Then you wouldn't spend this amount of money. So all this kind of crisis, what they call it, crude fell, did not fall. It's only significant because you need too much forex. And why did that happen? Dangote, as soon as Obasanjo left office, the first act Yar'Adua performed was to reverse all the sales. Why? Some people just went and said they didn't like it. And the spirit of foolishness, the man was too sick to know what was right or wrong. Okay, to solve the quarrel, let us start again. Till now, all the federal government has done was pour more money into it, and they are still epileptic. So God pour a spirit upon Aliko. Aliko said, okay, no problem. Hold your old Mangolo refinery. I'm going to build a state-of-the-art one that if they put all the ones we have together, it will not be able to refine as much as what I'm going to build. And nobody is blowing my pipelines. They are under the sea. No, that guy, God just gave him one kind of sense that I don't understand what Christians are doing. They said, no, the pipeline to blow. Come and dive. Not small money, almost $20 billion for all of this. American government saw it, say, my father. My father, my maker. All the destiny destroyers. They handed the man $980 million. No, I'm just now to explain how foolishness. One stroke of the pen. Some men I know in the Niger Delta area and in some of in oil and gas companies, they refused to vote for Jonathan. One brother said that, I will not vote for Buhari, no problem, but I cannot reward Jonathan with my vote. Why? They will explain to you how he could have doubled Nigerian gas production, but he did not. Me, I don't get angry with people anymore. I know these decisions are made in heaven, and that's why I'm talking about it. What happens? Brethren start talking. They open their mouth and be blabbing. And Satan gathers the accusations and goes to the throne of God and say, I want it authorized that five spirits of foolishness will go into the head of their head of state. And the Lord will say, why five? One to end prayer production, another one to hinder the progress of aviation. He will show you all of that. Say, but why will I do that to them? He said, as they say in your hearing, it is in the scriptures. He will quote it for God. Numbers chapter 13, Numbers chapter 14. As they say in your hearing, so you will do to them. Hear what they are saying. Please brings out his iPod. Click. Hear one man of God from the pulpit say, this is a useless country where the leaders don't think. They said it in your hearing. Wind it again. God says, it's enough now. What is it? It's okay. Defense, start your own. You know, the Bible calls Jesus an advocate with the Father. We are, you know, that's what we are. Defense, the Lord Jesus will say, the defense rests. Why? There's nothing to say. Where are they? They are in church killing their enemies. Where are they? They say, all the witches that are pursuing them. And Satan said, that's the job I gave them, to distract them from the... From the real job, I've given them something else to do. And the Lord said, I sought for a man. One. I didn't find. Therefore, his indignation was poured. Therefore, the head of state became stupid. But the message is for Christians. Enough is enough. It's work. Nobody's saying it's easy.
You cannot be on a road that used to take you 1 hour to drive, and you drive for 5 hours, and you won't feel bad. You're consuming fuel, you're wasting time, you're wearing out your car. But there's one thing God gave us believers. We can always be full of thanks. He said, for everything, give thanks. He said, in everything, give thanks. Two different scriptures from both of them from Paul. He says, for everything. So as you get inside the hold up, say, Father, I thank you. Say, we're inside the hold up. Oh, hold up. Thank you, Lord, for hold up. As I'm looking for something to do, like I always do. Many times I like traveling alone for that reason. What if they tell me that the journey is going to be 5 hours, I check, Oji River, Uguoba. I've checked everything. I just calculate. Kenneth Hagin, David Pawson, David Oyedepo, you 2 hours for you, 1 hour for you. I bundle the whole thing. Inside that hold up, thank God. I start giving God thanks. Lord, I thank you for my car. Thank you for the glass is up. You know, the AC is working. It does not overheat. Ha! Overheating car. Very horrible hold up. Oh. I start thanking God it does not overheat. Lord, I worship you. When I had to go to Akure for one of our senior brothers when he died that time, I did 8 hours of messages in one leg of the journey. What's the problem? I just there, just so that I turned that thing to a blessing. Yeah, we can do that. We can do that. Whatever it is, we make sure that we are full of thanksgiving. And please never forget to make, you know, we don't realize that God answers prayers. Never forget to make requests. That road, you know, I prayed about it. You know, I've not been on it once since it became this bad. The last time I went there was when I went to pick my kids back from their holiday. And I did it the normal, from Oka to Enugu. By that time, it was now 1 hour, 15 minutes. And, you know, so 1 hour, 15 minutes from Oka to Enugu. All right? So it wasn't a big deal. That's the last time I went to the road. But when I heard the report, I said, Father, because for me, I have issues on that road. That's my road. I'm going to preach in Asaba next week. That's how I'm going. Do you understand? If I have to go to Newe, that's how I'm going to go. So I say, Father God, I ask for repair. It's not hard. Not even big tongues. It's just for you to know that God is actually listening. And listen to this. If nobody asks for repair, you will be surprised that the road will be there for a long time. And one story or the other will just keep going up and down, and it will not be repaired. And after a while, you get used to it. They say, how far is Lagos from Enugu? It's like 18 hours. And you will say it in passing. Why? You've been driving the road for so long, you not think it's normal. The day you see a good, smooth express road, you close your eyes and say, am I sleeping? Yeah, that's what happens. Let me just tell you, that's how life is. If you see problem, you're going on the road. Like the other day, there was something about tinted permit and everything. In my house, I started praying about it. I said, look, this does not make any sense. This is not wisdom. This is not wisdom. Why do we all have to register these cars? They are not fully tinted. It's not full tint. It's just the back glasses and they are partial tints. I just started praying about it. Lord, I'm asking you to give them wisdom. They said, everybody come for capture. I said, we have driver's licenses that are already captured. Why can't they just key in our... I mean, it's the same federal government. The code is there. Enter it in. I authorize it to pull. I just fill that one in online. And that's it. But you know what most of us do? Some complain. This government, but they don't even have sense. This is a useless country. In America, they don't do like this. In London, this is the truth. Americans do things that you wouldn't believe. You see that in Nigeria and be deceiving yourself. Why am I telling these stories? Listen, don't just walk over it and whine about it and continue going. Stop there and say it with the fact that you know that I'm on assignment from God. Praying is my job. Are you getting my point? If I don't pray, nothing will get done. Let those want to protest. I don't read all these columns in the papers, Daily Momodu and all of that. I don't read them. I don't like confused people trying to, you know, they join accusers of the brethren. Tell me everything the president is not doing right. Let me give you presidency for 6 weeks. If you are still alive, you pray for the man. Pray for him. There are things he wanted to do, but he could not do. Do you know, look, the place where occultic powers are most focused on in Nigeria is Aso Rock. All these witches in the village that are looking for Uto, those are not witches. Listen,
Listen, people think that witchcraft is about flying in the realm of the spirit. I mean, drones can fly in the realm of the spirit. I mean, flying in the air. This witch they fly past is so done. This is a joke. Nobody does witchcraft that doesn't have anything to benefit. The real witchcraft is to control billions of dollars, not to be doing witch and be wearing rag in the village. No. God, I'm not kidding. Those who really do witching, who do juju, who do occult, they use it to buy oil block. They used it to get licenses. You think juju is for play in the realm of the spirit? Hey, I strong pastor, yeah, make that thing fly. Juju that does not bring money, they don't join that cult. All those babalawos have closed. The ones that can't do their juju for it to come to something strong. Boys that enter cult. They focus their attention on Asura because that is where the powerful money can be made. Even they don't hand you cash, signatures, licenses, authority to do this, authority to do that. You know, I've told you in this life, you can't just be walking around aimlessly thinking you will succeed. People will be working money till night, they want to succeed. Forget that. You must join one cult. There are different cults, but you must be in one. Just wake up in the morning. People, you are going to market. You say, you need just to import containers from China. Containers are carried by spirits. Otherwise, they will fall inside the ocean. You want to run a man out of the business. You are bringing things cheaper than you. You think the man, they go village for nothing. Egg by me. Deliver me. This boy wants to kill me. What is he doing? His business. What do we do? Does he like women? Say yes. Send him 2 girls. The girls will come and buy something. He plays with them. Sleeps with them. That's it. That's all we need. You can go home. And they enter into secret places and bring up accusations of adultery against him. Next container falls inside River Niger. The other one inside the lagoon. They'll start falling all over the place. The guy is bankrupt in 6 months. Tell the guy, take over his business. You think people do occultism to just that they can be bragging who was the one that who flew at the highest? You want to succeed in life? You go on your own juju. And that's what I preach. And this is the deepest of them. We Christians, we know our... Are you getting my point? Yes. Oh, Father. This is where the action is. One of the best juju men I've seen is Strive Masiwa. The Econess guy. Go and read Strive's juju practice. When they want to negotiate, his men are in Zimbabwe. They are praying. In the name of Jesus, we claim the door. We open. They are opening doors into South Africa, into Nigeria, into places. He's speaking English with you. Guys are speaking in tongues at home. That English is the one you can hear. Those guys are firing things in other tongues straight to the throne of God. Say, Father, we establish this kingdom for our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they are doing. Jesus, in the ordinary eye, you send people like Ibori to prison. Strive, show to them, say, power pass power. He said there was a time he got tired of what he was going to say. Look, he needed to buy Econess shares back. What do I do? The man dug into the real juju thing. Are you getting my point? The power of the Spirit of God. $1.5 billion worth what he produced for him. Bought everybody else out of Econess. The power of life. You think it's hustle? Hustle doesn't produce anything. Look, Christianity is not a joke. That's why I don't know. You know, Christians who don't understand, you'll not be in church. Somebody will not tell you to come and join Ogboni. It's an insult. Not because you are righteous, but because the level of power. Are you getting my point? It's like, I want to fight now. I have a machine gun, all right, that has like 1,000 rounds on my belt. Being fed, and you know, you can go, you know, machine gun. There's somebody now says, come, I want to help you fight this battle. And that gives you one gun, six chamber revolver. So when you hold it like this, wah, see, that bird has died now. Wah, see, I just killed that rat. You know, you're going to look at him, are you all right? You say, come, let me show you something. Stand in front. He said, no, stand in front now, let me test it. You're getting my point? That is why people like us don't join the bone. It is not just about righteousness. We know there's righteousness. But the level of power is different. Come on, I'm firing a machine gun here. You are bringing me a Beretta pistol. A revolver. Smith and Wesson. I'm here with a machine gun. With a grenade in my pocket. Are you getting my point? I don't need your pistol, please. Excuse me. That's for us Christians. We have eaten Ajesara. You know what they call Ajesara? Hey, go and ask an Ijebu man to tell you about Ajesara. Ajesara means, you know, more people, you put amulet on their body. They do scarification, they do for when they want to do local African juju. But the most powerful man doesn't have to, because those ones, you can forget them. You can, when you have to bathe, you have to remove them. So your enemy can come when soap is on your eyes. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So the real barbers, you know what they do? They swallow the thing. It's inside. It doesn't come out. The thing will hook in a nest there. So whether he's baiting or whatever, you can never catch him unawares. So he'll tell you, say, Baba Jebu, Oti Jeje Sara, he has eaten something. So even if you strip him naked, you can't see anything now. Those are the only ones you are still catching with amulet. Those are what you're telling me about. They never enter. Boys who have entered, they swallow their own. If everybody remove your cloth, they will remove it. When they tell you, say, so tomorrow all of you will be there by 8. You won't know why all of you came by 8. He spoke from inside. Are you getting my point? And commanded all of you to come by 8. Now, what am I talking about? That is why I like being a believer. I have eaten Ajesara. I have eaten Ajeseje. That is, I have eaten it into the blood. I have eaten it. My life is hid with Christ in God. The Creator is the one empowering my words. Are you getting my point here? I can't join Ogboni. It's too inferior. If I do Ogboni man like this, he will faint. And he knows. There are offices he will enter. He will say, whoever is on that chair is risky. Let's go. Yes. One man I heard his testimony. He said, if you're in the occult, you will know when power is higher than yours are operating. He said the day he gave his life to Christ, to tell you about juju. This man was born into the occult as a prince of the Benin Kingdom. Now what is it? That he had no problem with Christianity. That's for those who wanted to be Christian. His wife was a Christian. And he let the children go to church. It doesn't concern him. He said, my gods have never disappointed me. They have served me very well. In the 70s, he was a millionaire. Accountant trained abroad. He said, I had the money in millions. I heard his testimony at Full Gospel. But what he did not know was that his wife and his children had joined a deeper cult. He said in his house that there is a room that nobody enters apart from him. And they all knew. His wife knew, his children knew. That there were things inside that women don't touch. There are things he has to periodically, either weekly or daily, sacrifice a fowl and pour the blood on. He said, but he had, and if you see him outside, gentleman speaking British English, chartered accountant, you think that's just a book that's empowering the guy. But what he did not know was that his wife and children, they had entered a different realm. They were praying, in the name of Jesus, our father will be delivered. In the name of Jesus, he will see the light of Christ. They were having night vigil in his house. He didn't care. Because he wasn't fighting anybody. He said, if their own gods are working for them, let it work. These ones are working for me. So one day, 3 a.m., suddenly somebody woke him up. He woke up and didn't see anybody. And the person said to him, get up. He didn't hear any voice, but he was feeling the instructions. And he got up. Come. He walked out of his room, go into that your shrine room. He opened the door. He said, get bags. The guy got traveling bags. He said, begin to pack all the gods into it. That's when he said to us that, he said, if you have been in the occult, you will know when a power higher than you is talking. He couldn't see anybody. He didn't hear anybody. He could feel them. So the person told him, well, pack everything. So he packed everything to the boot of his Mercedes Benz. He said, put them inside. He put them inside. Enter. Begin to drive. Where am I going? Just be driving. When he got to one river in Benin there, said the person told him to stop on the bridge. He said, open your boot. He opened. He said, toss the bags into the water. He said, that time, he said, he knew he could not resist. He tossed the bags into the water. And the person said, go back home. He went back home, and that was it. Nobody talked to him again. He said one day he panicked. I said, whoever you are, you came here and stripped me naked. What do I do next? For 6 months, he did not know what to do. Until one day he went somewhere and he heard the gospel preached. That was when he knew who collected all his power. I heard this from his mouth. At that time, he was 72 or 74. Wasn't he a small boy? So when he tells you to give your life to Christ, what do you want to talk? He said, you join the bony. Me, I was born in it. Now, what is it? Which power have you seen that we have not seen? That Jesus is the real power. And that's what I'm preaching. That's what I'm preaching. That is what I'm preaching. You know, we went on all of this talking about when you see Aso Rock, everybody's aiming their own there. So pray for the president. That's what I'm going to say. There are people that don't want him to do the right thing because if he does, they will not benefit. You see the governor, pray for him. There are those that depend on disorder. Things must work wrongly for them to make it. They are not only wishing for the governor to go in a particular way. They are, please, you remember that my English? They are incantating against him. So you are not allowed to join the accusers. Some of the foolish things that some of our leaders do is not with ordinary eyes. They wake up, they don't know why they did it. Because men sat in places, offered some dangerous sacrifices, and said, this man will do like this. And God said, I don't want him to do it. But Satan said, where are the opposing words? There are no opposing words. All the words are on their side. Read Rick Joyner. Rick Joyner said, many Christians are working for Satan. They are working for Satan. Let me say it again. You know why one of the things I enjoy being a Christian? I am in the deepest of the cult. That's what Christianity is. The word of God is the most powerful thing in this universe. If I utter one word against the head of Ogboni, he will drop. And the best one I like is Psalm 2. Kiss the son, lest he be angry, and you perish out of the way. If a man looks me in the eye and says, the head of Ogboni, I say, that's it, that's your end. You have only 24 hours to kiss the son. After that, I say, Lord, he did not kiss the son. What are you going to do about it? The man will say, ah, sir, please, sir. How do I kiss the son? Kneel down here. Say, Jesus, forgive me. So that's how to kiss the son. But anyway, that's not our message. My message is about, listen, we must be what? Intercessors. We must be the ones praying, and it's an assignment. Let's bow down heads. Let's practice. Say a word for the president. Today's Nigeria's Independence Day. Say, Lord, show mercy to Muhammadu Buhari, our head of state. Lord, according to your word, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. Lord, take his heart. Now, these are the words that God is using against Satan when he comes home. Say, Lord, take his heart and turn it in a way that favors your kingdom, that favors your will. Say, Lord, have mercy upon the negative words that we have spoken. Say, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us of negative words. Forgive us of murmuring. Forgive us of complaining. Forgive us of accusations. Have mercy. In the name of Jesus, have mercy. On this day, Nigeria's Independence Day 2016, we ask, pour grace upon Aso Rock. Pour grace upon the head of state. Show mercy upon this land. Let your indignation be over. Lord, because Jesus died for our sins, we, your people, we ask, forgive us of our trespasses and let that forgiveness be felt by this land. In the name of Jesus. Oh, we are in Enugu. Pray for the governor. So, Lord, we pray for Ifeanyi Ugwuanyi, our state governor. Wisdom we ask for him. He has professed that he knows you. He has professed that Enugu is a state under God, subject to the Lord Jesus. Lord, let that profession stand for him. In the name of Jesus, let the gospel prosper in this land. And from here, let it be exported to many parts of Nigeria. And indeed, the rest of Africa. Father God, let prosperity be in this land. Let your mercy be in this land. Lord, every force that is speaking against your order, forces of selfishness, forces of disorder, Lord, silence their voice today. In the name of Jesus, let the governor, let our head of state hear the voice of the Spirit and let them do what is right. Let the blessing that we have found in Christ that has overtaken the curse upon Ham's descendants, Father, let that blessing be manifested in this land. We ask in the name of Jesus. We declare that our head of state will know what is right to do. We declare that he is not foolish. We declare that wisdom is his portion. We declare that he will be surrounded with wise people in the name of Jesus. We declare the same, Father God, for our state governor in Enugu State. Father, we give you thanks. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I declare to you that goodness will go with you.
Amen.
As you depart from here, you are not departing alone. Goodness is going with you.
Amen.
Mercy is going with you.
Amen.
I like the way Miles Morrow used to explain. Say, mercy is the name of an angel. Goodness is the name of another angel. That they are going with you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
They will deliver you from all trouble in Jesus' name.
Amen.
If you are sick, especially in your stomach, put a hand there now and I speak against that ailment. Sometimes somebody, they've told it an ulcer. Some, they don't even know what you've taken. Antacids, this and that, it hasn't gone. Forget it. Now it's gone in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I rebuke it by the power of the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And I command healing to come to you now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That headache that has been troubling you for days is gone in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Healing is your portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus is speaking before the throne of God for you. What you just need to do is say amen to it.
Amen.
That blood says you are healed.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every voice of accusation from the devil has been silenced.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every curse in your life is broken.
Amen.
Victory has come to you.
Amen.
Today we were at Pastor Kimute's program, The Good of the Land. Let me follow with that anointing. I say to you, in this land you will prosper.
Amen.
As Nigeria declares independence today, anniversary, you are independent from every curse in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You are independent from every oppression.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You have been set free.
Amen.
Listen, don't ever wish for bondage. Oh. Bondage is not good. Even if it was good, Jesus said that it's not good. If you felt it was good, what I mean? All right? He died to set you free.
Amen.
Walk in that liberty in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Slavery has ended in your life in the name
Amen.
Of Jesus. Let me say this thing I say all the time so that people will believe it. There is no witch that can afflict you. Not because they don't exist, but you are in the... Remember what I said earlier? You have a machine gun, fully loaded, releasing like 6 rounds every second. What is your own with people who are shooting one pistol? Are you getting my point? In the name of Jesus, you are totally free.
Amen.
Nothing can by any means harm you.
Amen.
No occultic power can harm you.
Amen.
Because you are seated with Christ in heavenly places.
Amen.
You are free in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That need in your life is met in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
God will make all grace abound towards you.
Amen.
You will have all sufficiency in all things.
Amen.
And you will abound to every good work.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil, because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus Christ. One more time. This is my season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus. Now, we are generous people. We bless somebody, all right? Bless somebody on your left or your right. This is your season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus. Bless another person. This is your season of fruitfulness and multiplication. All right, cheer up, brethren.